Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Tim from the Funky Butt Brass Band.
And this is Ron.
And whenever we're sitting in a van outside a club in the middle of the night, we listen to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Tim and Ron of Funky Butt Brass Band.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is very exciting. We're hanging out outside of Philippalooza here at Old Rock House this weekend. You guys are going on stage here in a couple hours, and but I thought it'd be fun to catch up with you for a couple minutes, talk about all the stuff you guys got happening.
Sounds great.
Right on.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys doing this. I've been following you guys for a long time, and this is long overdue, I think. Like, it's really, really cool. I mean, I've had Aaron and Adam and Cody and some of the other guys from the band, but it's nice to get you guys to kind of share some of your side of the stories.
Well, what took you so long? I guess that's the main thing. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we're the last guys on the list, right. I guess.
Yeah. Well, I still got Austin.
That's true.
Austin hasn't been on yet, so... So you got that over him.
That's true. Well, he's still the new guy.
Right.
Even though he's not really the new guy.
Yeah. But yeah, you guys just released a brand new Christmas album. Funky Butt Family Christmas, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Available on, I guess hopefully by this time it'll be on iTunes. Everybody can head over digitally. But you can also grab physical copies at the upcoming Brushtravaganza shows.
Right. Pretty much any live show, you'll be able to grab it. It's also available on cdbaby.com. You can either download it or get a physical CD, order one that way. So we want to get it in as many hands as we possibly can in as many ways as we possibly can. So
for sure. This is, and if anybody's seen you guys do these songs, I mean, they know they're great, but now it's fun to take home a copy to have it, you know, play for the whole family and everything else, so...
I tell you, over the time that we started doing the Christmas show, we've always had guests, and it was last year or so where we decided, like, you know, the guests have become just as much of the staple of the show as us. So it's like, you know, bringing in everybody in the family and showcasing the one or two tunes and then putting it on a CD for everybody to enjoy.
Yeah, I think family is really kind of the key word that we were operating, you know, with all along. We've been really lucky to, I mean, there's this incredible extended musical family we have here in St. Louis, and we're able to work with them at Christmas because everybody's busy. We don't really get a chance to do much with the people that we really like throughout the course of the year. So yeah, this was a chance to get everybody in the studio, try to recapture some of the Christmas vibe. I think we started recording this, what, February?
It was February.
And that was actually a little bit late. We kind of wanted to go in earlier so we could have all the songs fresh in our minds, because, you know, once Christmas is over, we kind of put everything on the shelf and wait until the following November, early December, before we start thinking about it again. So, so we wrapped it up, I think, in August, maybe, and wanted to make sure we had it out for the shows this year.
Yeah. That's just kind of a funny idea, so they're playing Christmas songs in June or whatever, you know,
yeah,
all summer and stuff, like getting in there and laying down your parts and stuff, but...
It was also a scheduling thing. I mean, it was just, you know, everybody's busy, and it's all the reasons that we can't all get together during the course of the year. You know, everybody's got their own stuff going on. So, yeah, it was kind of a, hey, can you do this date to put percussion down? Can you do this date to lay down vocals? And we weren't in a huge hurry because we knew we had, you know, almost the whole year to do it. So,
you guys record this with Jason again?
We did.
Yeah.
Yep. Sawhorse Studios, South City.
Yeah. Does great work. I mean, I love, I got to... opportunity to sit and talk with him a while back, and it was really a lot of fun to catch some of the, you know, pick his brain a little bit and get some of these stories, and it was very interesting. But yeah, that's a beautiful studio, and he's just been cranking out the hits out of there.
Yeah, it's kind of I don't know if it's a well-kept secret anymore, but I mean, it's kind of an unassuming place, but you go in there, and I mean, Jason's awesome, and it's really comfortable. We've done a couple of records there now, and it's really feels kind of like home.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I mean, I think that's part of the fun of it, is that, you know, it's very welcoming. You know, walk in and you just feel comfortable there, and it feels, like I said, feels like home, even if it's your first time there. So
yeah.
So I mentioned some of the guests. You do have, like I said, it's a bunch of your friends that play on a lot of these shows, but you have featured Emily Wallace on this, Al Holiday, Steve Ewing of the Urge fame, and Big Mike Aguirre,
Brian Owens.
Yeah, Brian Owens, Roland Johnson.
Yeah, Roland's kind of we had never had an opportunity to work with him until the last Christmas show, and we had such a ball that it was like, yeah, we got to hang out with this guy more often. I mean, he is he's awesome. And so, yeah, we're excited about getting to do it. It was exciting to do the record, but we're excited to do the show with him again this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, those are all you know, among my favorites in town for sure. So, like, I was really excited to see the list of featured players along with you guys backing all these songs. So they sound fantastic, and a bunch of your favorites probably from most of them you've might have heard before, but not like this. And but you do also feature a original on this, right? You said
we do. Yeah, our original sousaphone player Matt Brinkman wrote a song a couple years ago, I guess. Yeah. It was called "Because It's Christmas," and it kind of came out of the Ferguson stuff and all the, you know, the idea that we treat each other really well at Christmas time, but there's nothing that says we can't be nice to each other year round. And he wrote this song and brought it to us, and we thought it was pretty cool. And we went in and actually recorded it a couple of years ago with us doing the vocals and everything. And we released it as like a charity download. If you if you bought the download, we gave to, I think it was Music for Lifetime Achievement, I think. Mm-hmm. It was the original charity. And but we always kind of had it in our head that we wanted it to be sort of a We Are the World thing with a bunch of different voices that weren't necessarily ours, you know, or just ours. And so it was a great opportunity to kind of go in and take the original track and then do a little remix and record some new people singing. And we're really pleased with the way it turned out. It's really fun. It's the song that wraps up the CD, so we thought that was kind of an appropriate thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And probably ought to also say that, I mean, in addition to our those guest artists that you mentioned, I mean, we have a kind of a group of folks who have played with us almost every year. Dave Grelli, Matt Henry, Derek Trammell, Phil Wright's played with us, but those guys are on, Derek and Dave and Matt particularly are on a big part of the CD as well. So yeah, it's really, we have kind of an embarrassment of riches, I think, in this town sometimes. And it's really great to just pull in people that you know and people that you like and say, hey, let's do something together.
Definitely. Yeah, like it's really fun, like what Dave does with the keys on this too, like I guess like Nut Rocker, right? Mm-hmm. He features some keys in there and things, and all among some of the other songs. But yeah, it's just all those guys are just incredible players. We're pretty spoiled to have some world-class talent around us.
Totally.
Yeah, man. We got mentioned Brass Extravaganza is coming up December 15th and 16th over at Off-Broadway again. This is your ninth year doing that. All these players we mentioned will be also appearing with you guys that night, right? Both those nights?
Over the course of the three gigs,
right.
Everybody will be there. So some will be both nights. Some folks will be there just during the matinee or during one of the nights. So, but yeah. The whole family will be there over the course of the weekend.
Yeah. You, I thought, so last year was the first matinee show, right? Was
yep.
that right?
Yes.
Correct? That's what one I went to, because I was going to go Friday night last year.
So it was Ron. We don't talk about Friday last year too much.
I unfortunately didn't make it either. But I did make it down there for the matinee show, which was my first experience at the Brass Extravaganza. I don't know why in the past years that I just, it was always something, I was, got real excited, and then of course then it snowed and then it was like and ice and everything else that happened that night, so I was pretty bummed. But you know, like Alex said, at least I got to make it to the matinee show and got to hang out with Santa and all the kids and everything.
It was the Grinch and everybody. Yeah, a number of people that came Saturday to the matinee who had tickets for Friday, and you know, that was kind of the best. I think by that time Saturday night was sold out, and so it was a good opportunity. The matinee is a little different, obviously, because it's mainly for kids and their parents, but. It's a little shorter. We don't have as many guests, you know, and we kind of gear it toward a kid audience. One of the things that we had fun with was we went out and bought a bunch of little, like, toy instruments, shakers and tambourines and things like sleigh bells. And things like that. And I was naive enough, maybe not having kids of my own, to think, oh, we'll just, you know, hand these out, and then at the end of the show, the kids will give them back, and we'll use them next year. And no, every kid walked with every piece of gear we had, and I'm sure, you know, the highways were littered with, you know, sleigh bells, because about halfway home, you know, the parents threw them out the window or something. But
right. So
we learned a lesson that it's really a necessary expense, and so we're going to do that again this year, and that'll be fun.
We've done the Brass Extravaganza about, I guess, 7 years up until that point. And since that 7 years, you know, a lot of us have been married and had kids, and our kids have grown up. And it's really one of our favorite gigs of the whole year. And every year we're like, man, it'd be great. Like, we're doing all this, you know, cool music with all these great artists. It'd be great if our own kids and our own family could do it. And that's where the matinee came from, actually. It's like, you know, we'll do an afternoon spot, we'll bring our own kids, we'll invite the family to come in, and just kind of give them a little taste of what's going to happen at night.
Indoctrinate them early, so then when they get old enough, they can come to the night show.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
right.
Well, you guys don't do a ton of all-ages shows. You know, there's some festival things you guys do, and other, you guys don't play the zoo.
Concert in the park
kind of
stuff, yeah.
And I did bring my... brother-in-law Sean. He's also a saxophone player, but I brought him out to one of your guys' shows before, and I was like, just so he can see what, you know, like, he plays marching band at the college now, mm-hmm. and stuff, and but just to let him know you can continue this after school, you know, you can continue making original music and do some fun with it. And
music is a lifelong activity
for sure.
Well, it's funny because I think it was a couple of years ago, we had this listed, before we did the kid show, we had it listed as an all-ages thing. And one of the components of the show, most years, is a burlesque. We have Mimi LaYuke is a local performer, and she's been with us, gosh, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 years. Yeah. And but she does a burlesque number or two. And so a couple of years ago, she was getting ready to do her number, and we looked down, and there were, like, you know, at least half a dozen, like, 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds in the audience who were there. It was somebody's birthday, and the parents thought it would be a good idea to bring them to our show. This was the nighttime show. And it was a little disconcerting, you know. I think those kids got maybe a little more of an education than they bargained for. And so we've been trying to, you know, since then, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, it's sort of an 18 and up. And I think it's still actually considered an all-ages show. But if you're under 18, there's a surcharge for tickets, and you have to be accompanied by an adult. So I don't know. We're not going to do the burlesque thing this year. We decided we're going to kind of switch things up a little bit. But that was sort of one of the highlights. I think when we talk about moments during the 9 year or 8 years.
My favorite is when Mimi looked at the kids and then looked at the parents and go, you know what's coming next.
Are you sure you want them here? So, but it's very tasteful, you know. It all worked out. I'm sure she was a little, you know, put off maybe in the beginning, but it ended up being fun. And it's just a fun memory. It's fun.
Sure.
We laugh about it all the time.
It reminds me of this time I went to this comedy show, see Steve Byrne at SIUE. And it was like Parents Weekend or whatever, mm-hmm. at the beginning, and so the whole family was there, and all, you know, their kids and every, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and so there was like an all ages part of the show at the beginning with a magician, comedian, and Derek Hughes, and it was great, and you know, and then they had a person representing from the school, and they come out, and they're like, okay, the next part of the show is adult only for, you know, the comedian, if you're easily offended or anything or whatever it is, whatever they said, like, you know, this be your time to go. And nobody moved. They all just stayed there. So, like, and Steve came out, and you could just see him, like, kind of struggling, like, because he saw all these kids. But then it got to the point, he's like, I'm here to do my show. And they warned everybody. And then, like, he made, like, one dirty joke, and then, like, half the crowd got up and walked out in the middle of the show. And, like, and I laughed so hard at that. Like, I thought that was the funniest. So, and then it ultimately turned out to be great. But, I don't know, but there's something about that, like, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you guys don't advertise it as adult, but I mean, it is a little bit more, you know, good times for the adults, even though we're playing Christmas music, we're still having fun and stuff.
There is alcohol involved,
right?
Usually,
yeah.
So yeah, that should be your first clue,
right?
Maybe
I think the original idea of the Christmas show is we wanted to create a show to, it was the way that adults wanted to spend Christmas, not necessarily the way that we have to.
Right.
So we wanted to, I mean, my vision for Christmas when we started doing it all those years ago was very similar to what Andy Kaufman did. And he did the big show at, towards the end of his career where, you know, he wanted, like, just everybody to be childlike. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, he loaded everybody up in the buses, and they went to a place and they had milk and cookies. And, like, it was all this feel-good stuff. And that's kind of, you know, what I was always going for with the Christmas show, is we wanted it to kind of suspend disbelief and go, do you remember what Christmas used to be like when you were 4 and 5 years old? Well, now that you're 45 and 50, like, you can still feel the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it was Aaron maybe 3 or 4 years ago who kind of initiated the pajama idea, you know, and I think some of the guys in the band showed up wearing pajama, you know, like wearing onesies. I think everybody went to Target and got the, you know, the adult onesie. And I think that was kind of a snowball that sort of kept rolling, because then the next year we started billing it as a pajama party. And I would say the majority of people who come show up in pajamas. And, you know, as Ron said, it's a chance to kind of be a kid, not be, you know, confined by what, you know, we as adults have to sort of deal with every day. You know, you can just sort of, yeah, come in your flannel PJs and have some fun, you know, listen to Christmas music and just dance and forget everything for a while. And, you know, if we can do that, I mean, that's sort of the goal of music anyway. I think for people that play music, is we just want to let you forget things for a while and just entertain you.
And through the years, we've had folks that came to us and said, Christmas doesn't start until Breast Extravaganza.
Yeah.
And there was actually a story last year, maybe 2 years ago, that one of the people that were there, like, lost a loved one very, very close to Breast Extravaganza, and it was their opportunity to kind of, you know, come to peace with whom they lost. And it's like, you know, we're going to celebrate instead of mourn.
Mm-hmm.
So that event that's happened every year now has been a little different to everyone that shows up, but it's always a good time.
Yeah.
And we see familiar faces. I mean, obviously we have a lot of friends who show up, but, you know, you'll see somebody 1 year, you know, maybe they're wearing, we have these guys who wear, like, Christmas, they're like suits, you know, like suit jacket and pants, but they're made, they look like Christmas sweater material or whatever. And, you know, they come every year, so we look forward to seeing them. You know, people that we didn't know previously show up, and we interact with them a little bit, and then we see them the following year, you know, and it really does become kind of a, I mean, like, all the best things about Christmas, you know, it's a tradition, and it's something that you like to do, you look forward to it, and you like sharing it with people that you care about, so.
Yeah. Well, tickets are still available. We're going quickly, so if you hear this, grab them right now, because if you want to go, because otherwise, when they're gone, they're gone.
I think Saturday is close to being sold out. Friday, some good tickets remain. The matinee, there's still some tickets. But, yeah, it's the sooner the better, usually. It's if you go to offbroadwaystl.com, you can order them, and you're all set.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm looking forward to it. I'm bringing my mother and my mother-in-law and my wife and my brother-in-law, I mentioned. So, yeah, whole family affair for us, too. So, along with the you know, family on the stage that we got going. So.
You got your pajamas picked out?
You know, I got to work on that.
All right. You still have time.
Yeah. It's a little trickier for me. It's hard to find the big boy pajamas.
I like how you looked at me when you said that.
I thought you were going to say you don't wear pajamas to bed, right. And then you just didn't want to show up in your...
Like, that guy can relate to me. Yeah. I get you. Yeah. And you're right, I can't. Yeah.
It's hard to find a 6'4 onesie on, you know, on the rack, so...
Right.
You could get two and maybe sew them together or something.
Yeah, that might there be you
good.
Go.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It'd be a twosie at that point,
right. I'm fortunate I have a wardrobe mistress at home that that picks out my Christmas outfit every single year. She looks for sales throughout and says, this is what you're going to wear Friday, this is what you'll wear on Saturday.
See, it's like our recording philosophy. You go and get your Christmas pajamas like in January, February. You get them marked down.
That's right.
You know, and then you just kind of tuck them away until December.
There you go.
That's the frugal shopper.
Funky Butt loves a sale.
Yes. Frugal Butt. That's us. Thrifty Butt.
I was thinking, I wanted to ask you guys about, there was that article you guys shared on your page about, I guess, was it some festival, and they got mad about you guys at your name and stuff, and
Well,
I just found it funny, but like I was wondering though, like, is it just because it says butt, or is it because it's a funky butt, or is it?
I don't know.
I don't think we know. I think it's a combination. I think there. I mean, I've known some people that were offended by the butt. You know, just that, which seems really silly in 2017 that somebody would, you know, voice that concern. But I think that maybe it was the combo. I don't really know. I mean, this person obviously has a right to his opinion, and you know, that's what he believed. He didn't know the history. I won't go into it in detail, but I mean, the term funky butt has a very rich and storied history since the beginning of the 20th century in New Orleans, and we wanted this band to kind of pay respect and be an homage to that brass band tradition of New Orleans. So we thought that was a name that would do that and also make people smile and be memorable and all the stuff that you want out of a band name. And for the most part, it's worked the way we want it to. Occasionally we'll get somebody like this gentleman who will voice his opinion. We play the St. Louis Jazz Club a time or two each year, and you know the audience tends to be a little older and more conservative. And it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, a very nice lady came up after the show, and she said, "I really enjoy your music. It's great." And we said, "Oh, thank you." And she said, "Not a fan of the name, though." And we're like, "Oh, sorry, but you know, it's not offensive in our minds, and it's right. not our problem. If somebody has an issue with it, that we can't help them. That's their thing."
I think the sad part is we had to tell everybody that we all have a butt.
Well, I know. I've run into
everybody
this.
Has a butt.
I've right. run into this in my personal life a little bit with you know, some parents who wouldn't let their kids say the word butt, and I'm like, there's a pork butt, there's a cigarette sure. butt, you're the butt of a joke. Like, I mean, how sheltered do you want this kid to be?
Right.
It's just a word, and you know, I don't know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know.
And in our house, there's no bad words, just bad places to say them.
Yeah.
Just bad people who just bad people who say them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. No, but the article, I mean, that's one way to look at it, or maybe he was just trolling for attention. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that too.
All right.
I mean, I guess any attention is good attention, sure. maybe to a point, but you know, so we thanked him for all the good publicity and moved on.
Right.
Yeah. And if you were to look at the street that night while we were performing and everybody having a good time, there wasn't anybody offended that night.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No.
If they were, they were hiding it pretty yeah. well, I think. Yeah.
They were doing an awful job of hiding it.
Yeah. Well, along with Brasstravaganza, you guys are also going to throw one more party at the end of the year. You guys are heading back over to Broadway Oyster Bar, mm-hmm. one of our favorite spots in town for sure. And you guys are doing the New Year's Eve party over there, so you can come celebrate with Funky Butt and bring in the new year.
Yeah, if you miss the Christmas show, and why would you, for one thing, you know, don't miss it. But or you just, you know, you get your fill of Christmas music and you want to hear the regular stuff, and or you just don't have plans for New Year's Eve and you don't want to sit home with a Domino's pizza and, you know, watching somebody on TV. Yeah, it's really fun. Obviously the Oyster Bar is kind of our home base. That's really one of our first gigs, and it's a monthly gig. I don't know how many shows we played there now, but quite a few in our 10-year existence. And it feels like home, and it feels, you know, it's a place where we feel confident trying out new stuff and, you know, just having a great time. So, and the food is wonderful, obviously, and so yeah, it's New Year's Eve is a fun night. It's a special night.
Yeah, yeah. I think I worked last year's with you guys, and yeah, we had you know, hats and all kinds of different mm-hmm. stuff. So it was just fun to see everybody, you know, actually passing them out there at the door and everybody wearing them, and you know, of course, playing along to all the songs with their you know.
Their kazoos, yeah, right. And, yeah, that's really fun for a band.
Yeah,
to have right. that happening. Yeah,
right.
It's like bunch of little kids with tambourines.
Sure.
And, yeah, shakers. Yeah.
If you thought that was bad, then you give them a couple of drinks and
yeah,
yeah.
It's to be expected, though. I mean, sure. You know, New Year's Eve is you know, it's a fun night. It you know, it's a night that people tend to really see good and bad, and you know, it is what it is. We're just out to entertain. So.
Right. Yeah, man. I'm excited about about the Brashtravaganza. Like I said, we get to actually get the full effect this year. Since like I said, I missed out. I'm excited, and like I said, this new record's fantastic. I'm excited to see you guys with all my friends up on stage, having a good time, and I wanted to share some of these songs, give people a little taste of what's what to expect, and of course what's on this record, and available digitally, and like I said, and on CD Baby, and then at the show, so you can take home a copy. And you want to get the physical, I think, because the artwork is great. I love seeing you guys as gingerbread men on the cover here. So
yeah,
is that what you said? You did this, Tim?
Yeah, I guess it was sort of my concept. I work. We all have real jobs, and my real job is working for an advertising company here in town. And so I'm lucky enough, I work with a lot of really talented designers, so I could, you know, that most of whom I outrank, so I can kind of pull them in and get them to do stuff. So a guy named Miles James did the design and did a great job with it. And you can't take yourself too seriously. I mean, we did a Christmas EP in 2011 called Shiny Christmas Balls. And, you just can't be too serious about Christmas. So we wanted to just have some fun. And Gingerbread Men seemed kind of, seemed appropriate for the season.
Yeah. That I love singing along to is Big Mike Aguirre's Every Day is Like a Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also like to sing like Al Holiday.
Like Al Holiday, yeah. Every day will be like Al Holiday. Yeah.
So,
Al, you would think with a name like Holiday, he'd be having like Christmas shows, you know,
right?
Just every day during, well, every day.
when my baby comes home. Everybody sing it again now. Every day gonna be like a holiday with my baby. When my baby comes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun. I don't know, we've been doing that song with Big Mike for a number of years, and from the first minute we did it with him, it was really, things clicked, and we just kind of went, yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And we haven't been able to work with Mike every show. He's, you know, he works a lot, and there have been a few times when he's had other things going on, but we're excited to get him back this year for both nights and do that song and couple others.
He's so good. I love his voice and his guitar playing, and I'm glad that he's on this recording, but I really wish he would go cut a record, because
he is. I think, in fact, we're taking the Christmas show to Kansas City on December 10th for the second year, and Al went with us last year and played keys, and we were talking to him about doing it again, and he's in the studio with Big Mike that weekend.
Great.
So they're definitely putting stuff together. Well,
I can't wait for that. That's going to be very exciting. Yeah. And I love that you guys are doing that too. You guys are, you guys always kind of do some road work, but you guys have been going to Kansas City quite a bit over there, knuckleheads and stuff.
Yeah,
so
right.
Great. I love that spot. That's such a fun venue.
It's really fun. Yeah, it took us a while to get in there. We kept kind of hammering away at it. And then the Christmas show last year was sort of our, I guess the door opened after that. But we had a lot of people after that show go, do they only play Christmas music? You know, do you play anything else?
Yeah.
And so it's been nice to be able to get over there and play and show them what we can do. But that party is for KCUR, which is kind of the Kansas City equivalent of KDHX here. And so, so we had a great crowd, and looking forward to a good time this year.
Yeah.
Plus we get barbecue.
We do get barbecue in the dressing room. That's pretty cool.
Is that what...
It's in our contract. It's in our
right. Yeah, right.
We gotta have. If you want good barbecue, St. Louis has great barbecue. I'm not gonna put down St. Louis, but Kansas City has some pretty fine barbecue.
Which spot you guys go up there?
Oh, do we need to? We probably shouldn't say. Should we say?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, obviously Arthur Bryant's is historic. This last go around, we went to Q39. So, highly recommend both places.
Yeah.
I hear. Oklahoma Joe's or something like that, right?
I've also heard
Jack Stacks is good there, yeah. But I mean, we have Pappy's and Bogart's and some and Sugar Fire. I mean, this little pocket of the Midwest is no slouch when it comes to barbecue. That's for sure.
I worked there was a Sugar Fire across the parking lot from my job, and so I was when the wind shifted and I was downwind from there, like. It was tough, man.
Drool coming out.
Smelling up.
It's magic.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's very tempting to go over there for lunch every day. And Sugar Fire, and I love all these great barbecue spots around town. It's fun. I mean, and that's kind of, for me, it's the same thing with pizza, too. It's like I always love trying a different pizza or trying a different barbecue, see who, their take on it, how they do it and stuff.
I think pizza and barbecue are, they're kind of like sex. Like, there really isn't a bad version of it. They're just varying degrees of good, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably not true, but, I St. Louis pizza is sort of an acquired taste. I guess if you grew up here, it's something you're used to. I didn't grow up here, so it took me a while to kind of embrace the Provel universe.
Yeah. I haven't quite gotten... there either, so
yeah, it's a little tricky.
All right.
I don't want to have the Emos family come after me or anything, but it's there's plenty of pizza to go around. Everybody can have what they want.
Exactly.
And, all that stuff.
So. Rock paper food cast.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be
good times. Good times. Good times.
But yeah. Well, you guys, you can get involved with Funky Butt Brass Band all over the internet. Is it .com, right?
Yep, funkybuttbrassband.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Bebo, Friendstar.
Yeah. What? Tinder, Grindr.
MySpace.
Yeah, all those.
Yeah. the Post-Dispatch Classifieds, I think we're in there somewhere. I don't know. So.
And again, grab tickets off BroadwaySTL.com for the Brestavaganza. Don't want to miss that party. And yeah, go ahead and pick out your PJs tonight.
Yeah.
So,
and it's only for the people who like magic.
Right.
It's a magical night. And for the people that enjoy magic, they should be there.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's I fully support that statement. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Shane.
Let's get back in there and party the rest of the night with raise some money for ALS for Philippalooza here. So
sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for having us.
To know you better this Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. Fireside is blazing bright.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.